Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the Cardiff City podcast in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm your brand new host, Glenn Williams, and joined by the one and only Nathan Blake. And not Paul Bandinato this week, Blakey, just me and you.
Just me and you, just the two of us, mate. Yeah, I don't know where Paul is. Where is he?
He's on holiday.
On holiday, it's okay for some.
Missing this podcast as well after his best player came on, started last night. We'll talk about that later on,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Well,
since the last time we spoke to you, we've had two games. Mm-hmm. And well, it seems like they're two very, very different games. I suppose we should take them as very isolated incidents. So
yeah.
If we go back to Sunday, so in my notepad here, I've got Reading-awful.
Okay.
What do you say in response to that?
I can't disagree. Wasn't a great performance. In fact, it's probably one of the worst I've seen Cardiff give in recent times. Listen, it's just one of those you choke off, as sometimes they happen.
Especially early season as well.
Yeah, early season. You know, it's the game was there for the taking, I thought, for both teams. I don't think either team were particularly great. And it was a question of whoever got the first goal, we're going to go on and do well. But, you know, the goals were avoidable. You know, if you're talking about the goals, they mostly came down the left-hand side, down Bennett's side, between Bennett and the big man. And, you know, you'd have to say, you know, like the first goal, Volks gets done.
Yeah.
I think I watched the game on TV. I think Volks' legs buckled a bit on the sprint.
And you said Puskas saw that, didn't
Puskas, they? Yeah, I would have seen it. So I'm just putting myself in Puskas' position. They were sprinting and Volks' legs buckled a bit. Not buckled in the sense that he was weak, buckled in the sense that he was trying to overstride to keep up with Puskas.
Yeah, Puskas knew he had the beating of him.
Stopped him, squared him up, went again. The last thing you want to do with your legs is go again. That's what you say. You know, you hear shouts, go again. He's got to dig in. Got behind him and in fair play to Puskas, it was a great finish.
It was a good goal, wasn't
it? It was a very good goal.
Looked a good player as well.
He looked a very good player. But his second goal, I felt... Aiden could have done better.
Yeah,
should have gone.
Well,
he's gone with the wrong leg, and he's got to get that right arm. And expect him. If he comes the other side of him and nicks him, fair enough. But your left leg should block that out. Yeah, anything coming like goal side of him. But he's gone with his right leg. Should have gone with his left leg, right arm up, expecting him to come across him. But like I said, the goal seemed to come down that left hand side, so. It wasn't so evident last night, but it was definitely against Reading. They seemed to exploit that situation.
I suppose one of the more disappointing things would probably be just how well they started. It seems to be a theme that Cardiff starting games well, and they'd just fallen off a little bit. I don't know how much that coincided with Marlon Pack going off. I know Neil Warnock said, he attributed quite a lot to that after the game. He said... their sort of control in midfield went. I know Leandro Bacuna started off very shakily at right back without Lee Peltier and got moved into central midfield. And I just thought that central midfield of Rawls, Vokes, and Bacuna just looked so lightweight.
Oh, they got countered too much.
Yeah.
They were getting counter attacked too often, which then you're looking at the spaces between midfield and front men, which was kind of evident again last night.
Yeah.
You could see it.
They got away with it last night.
Yeah, so they need to do one way or the other. They either need to push from the back and squeeze the game and press better and more organised up front, or they need to drop into the low block and drop everyone back and counter-attack. I've been saying it for probably well, since last season, you know, because we got the ability to counter attack. I would say we've been one of the most frightening teams in the league.
Yeah, that front four.
Yes, but we're not actually. We'll do it here and there, but it's not a ploy, it's not a tactic that we have, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So at the moment, and you gotta respect the fact that they're a new team, basically. You know, they're not you know, Smithy's in goals. That's a new one. You know, Aidan Flint, that's a new one.
And also, that's quite interesting because it raises the question then, Warnock's placing, like, he seems to have placed a lot of importance on Marlon Pack. He's saying how much of a leader he is, he's filling this void left by Aaron Gunnarsson. So how much of a difference do you think it made when Marlon Pack went off, or do you think that result was inevitable whether Pack was on the field or not on Sunday?
Difficult to say, because I do rate Marlon. I think he's a very good player, a very influential player. However, I look at their lad with the locks, the black lad in midfield. He was very influential and scored a great goal last night. I can't remember his name, but he was very influential as well. And he seemed to be...
Ajari?
Yes, Ajari. He seemed to be the boss man of the midfield.
He was pulling the strings, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
A bit like Chalobah last night as
absolutely,
well. Absolutely. We'll come on to that.
Absolutely. So if Cardiff were going to get into that game and going to win that game, it would have been a duel, I would have spoken. Between Ajari and Pack, whoever came out on top, yeah, you win the midfield battle, you tend to win the war. So Pack going off, you know, yes, it's going to have a big effect. But Cardiff, listen, Cardiff just come down from the Premier League, can't have it always.
Nah.
You've got a squad, you've spent money. Like I said last week, the owners have backed the manager again. You know, there's this notion that we don't spend money. Okay, we're not spending big money in the Premier League, but we've signed a lot of players.
Yeah.
Yeah, an awful lot of players. We're probably up to 35, 40 players in Neil's time. So those take time to then gel. You know what I mean? Refreshing it all the time takes time to gel. You know, Neil constantly has, you know, not picked the same team. And it's worked. It's worked. So why would you change it? So... changes here and there, two or three changes is kind of like the format he's laid down. It's worked for 2 years. You know, just got to keep our fingers crossed that this team gels. When I say team, I don't mean just the 11. I mean 16, 17, 18 boys, they gel. They get that, you know, togetherness, that camaraderie between each other. And they're able to go on and...
Yeah, you know, that's important, especially in the Championship where you have... Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. I mean, there's going to be rotation, so you're right in terms of rotation and things. It needs to be, they need to meld
it's
together
a heavy season.
As an 18,
it's a
20,
heavy season.
20-man squad.
And listen, I say it, you know, football's becoming a 12-month-a-year thing, you know what I mean? In our day, you played your 40, 50 games, you had your break of 8-9 weeks, and then you went again. They're not getting our sort of rest periods in between now. You know what I mean? The rest period is 4 or 5 weeks, if you're lucky, and you're not an international. If you're international, it's 2 to 3 weeks at best. So, you know, that rotation of the squad is important and is becoming ever more important in the modern game.
Yeah, and with injuries as well, that's not helping Warnock's cause. It came out last night, though, this morning, not sure which it was. Marlon Pack's going to be out for a couple of months. How big of a blow do you think that is?
Well, that and Etheridge. I thought Neil, you know, was a huge blow. You know, because that back four, new back four, okay, there's only one new player in it. It's missing the main man in Sol. It needs that continuity, you know, early on in the season, clean sheets, or if you're going to concede a goal here or there, clean sheets, and then build from there. Well, you know, as soon as you lose your number one goalkeeper, Smithy's just done well, but losing the goalkeeper was a massive blow, I felt. And then if Pack is going to be out for a couple of months, that's another blow. But you have to cope with these things. Simple as that, you know.
What's your verdict on the defence as a whole? Because we saw, you said last week about Sol Bamba and how it's all fine and dandy when the results are going your way, but as soon as they start losing, they're going to be crying out for Sol to be coming back in. We saw a little bit of that after Reading. A lot of people on my Twitter account anyway saying, need Sol back, Morrison and Flint, they're not up to it. We need Solbakk to sort of meld them all together. Mm-hmm. We saw as soon as Peltier got injured, we had Bakuna in at right back, and he looked very shaky, got put into midfield. Nelson came on for his debut. I'd like to reserve a little bit of judgment because it was his debut, but didn't set the world alight with his debut. And we had Kieran Brown last night coming in as defensive cover and untested at this level. It is worrying, isn't it, in terms of the defence?
Well, it's
and sort of seven goals after Sunday as well. They shipped seven goals in three games.
Yeah, so. I think in fairness to the manager, you've got to give it time to gel. I always say after 10 games, Glenn. Yeah, I don't panic. I don't panic anyway, but I don't worry too much. I always say, you know, you gotta give it 10 games for things to settle, players to settle. At this moment in time, it's a bit of an ache because, you know, your main players down the central part, your two of your main players down the centre of your team have gone, right? Pack and average. People might say, ah, well, you can cover it, but they're huge losses, right? So you then got to give things time to gel again. You've got a new partnership with Morrison and Flint, two very similar players for me, right? Two very, very similar players.
I think that's where all the negativity's coming from.
Yeah, well, you know, but, you know, what they're going to have to do is between them not play the same sort of game, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
And one has to think to yourself, right, I'm going to go and win the duel more often, because most teams play with a one with two wide or a one with one behind, a number 10 sort of thing. So, you know, you've got one striker really to take care of if you're Morrison and Flint. So let that partnership, it's got to grow, it's got to gel. I don't think either of them are comfortable once you turn them.
No.
All right? Once they've got to go over their left or right shoulder, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
All right? So, okay, if I recognise that as a manager, I then play, right, okay, I'm going to play a deep block. Right? I'm not going to give you the opportunity to play in behind me. Right, because my two centre backs are just not quick enough over, you know, 40, 50 yards.
Which is why they did well against Luton. They did.
So
they
what we do, we sit a deep block.
Mm.
Why do we sit with a deep block? Well, we got flying machines all across the front. Glatzel, listen, I don't care what anyone says, I watched some footage of Glatzel. I've done my research on him. Good player, mate. Really good player. But he's a footballer.
Yeah.
You know, if you expect him to come and be a target man, it's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen. He can play with his back to goal, but he's not what you would call an old-fashioned Mick Harford, put it up in here and I'll hold it and bring you in and I'll spin to the far post. He's a footballer. If you look at his goals, they're in between the six-yard box. Most of his goals are running forward, running on. He's got beautiful feet for a big man. He's got a lot of Jack and Jill skill.
He's got, translation.
Yeah, he's got a lot of Jack and Jill, and he's good in the air. I felt last night he was very tense.
He just needs that goal.
Just relax, the goal will come. Mm. But we need to play to his strengths as well. You know, the front line need to understand that, you know, if you're coming inside off the halfway line, someone like Glatzel is going to be in behind, so look for those slide passes. Coming inside around about the 18-yard box, right? Then you can play off him as a wall and get one back and try and put in the top stanch. Or get on the outside of your defender if you're the winger and cross the ball, because he's going to be attacking the near, middle or far post. He is that type of striker. So these things take time to gel, but I just hope that they're doing the work that's going to make them gel, because they don't happen on their own. You know, at the moment, for me, you look at last night, you say they've had good chances, but it wasn't a pretty game to watch. It was very kind of broken, if you like.
Yeah.
You know, and then at times you see one or two good passing movements. And I do, I would put more trust in the players to play more football. That's just my opinion. I would, because I think we got good footballers.
Yeah. Yeah.
As simple as that. If you look at Huddersfield were down on their luck, you know, but you see what they tried to do last night.
Yeah, they tried to play, didn't they?
We're gonna play. Why? Because we're footballers. We're decent players. And I just think, at the moment, Cardiff not playing well and won. That's a bonus. That's a good thing. That's a plus. Keep the chains moving. You know, after such a poor defeat at Reading, keep the chains moving and try and get some momentum going.
So after the Reading game, obviously 3-0 defeat, but as you say, can be chalked off because it's so early on the season, move on. Warnock said last night that they actually didn't train on Tuesday, brought them all in for a meeting. And by meeting, he said meeting, but I think that meant a dressing down.
Yeah, crisis.
Two questions. One, have you ever had anything like that in your playing career? Did the manager ever just call you all in, just sit you all down, berate you, no training today, just coming in, we're going to sort it out? And two, do you think that was the right thing to do?
Yes and yes.
Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah, no, sometimes, you know, you need to hear it. Sometimes, you know, what you can say about Neil, he's going to just give it to you straight in the dressing room, do you know what I mean? And, you know, sometimes those rows can get heated with players because players, you know, have an opinion.
Big personality.
And, you know, in my day, you'd have like four or five would have an opinion. Not so many now. Everyone's got an opinion. So, you know, times have changed. And
do you remember any specific?
Yeah, I had one where we had it with Dave Jones. I had signed for Wolves, and after about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, there seemed to be an underlying theme when I got there. It didn't seem to be. It was happy, but you know, little things here and there. And I come from Blackburn, which was, you know, fantastically well-run club, fantastic training facility, fantastic ground. And then he came to Wolves, which had a fantastic ground, hence why he signed all the players he signed at the ground. But then he went to the training ground and it was woeful.
Really?
Yeah. And then we, you know, we hadn't, I think we'd started okay. I think I joined after the second or third game. Things didn't materialise how they were supposed to anyway. They had a crisis meeting after about a month, I think it was, maybe 6 weeks. And Dave went round, and some people who had a lot to say when there wasn't a meeting then just went totally silent.
Quiet as a mouse.
Yeah, yeah. And others had their say. And he asked me, and I said, well, I've only been here like a month, so it's not real. And he said, no, signed you as a player of experience, opinion, and don't want to hear it. So I just said, there's lots of little things. And sometimes it's not like one major thing that's the problem. Sometimes there's lots of little things. One was like where we trained and changing every day with the general public. Couldn't say and speak, you had to watch your language, this and that. And we had a group of lads who would banter for fun. You know what I mean? So that became a problem. A few arguments with general public. You know, food wasn't, after training, wasn't great. You know, they're saying to be professional on one hand, and then when it's, you know, you're looking to refuel after it, well, it wasn't there. So how professional do you want to be? You can't have it both ways. You know what I mean? So all these, I said, all these little things, you know, a little snowballs. I said, but wrap them all up and you've got an avalanche. And then that's extremely difficult to stop. And I think it was that season we were, I think, 12 points clear or 10 points clear with, I think it's 12 points clear with 10 games to go. And we didn't even make the playoffs. You know, it just, it was, we were, I remember thinking to myself, you know, like World's Strongest Man, you've got like, two trucks pulling you either way. I remember thinking, doing everything, trying to pull this, just hold that, but it's just gonna like pull our arms out of our sockets, and eventually it did. It just got the better of us.
And you're right. And sometimes meetings like that, they work both ways, don't they? Because the players need to hear what the management have to say, but also the management needs to hear what the players have to say and what
absolutely
they think. It's a two way street. And if Warnock,
they're not kids,
exactly,
right? It's not under tens, right? So that was one of the things I hated about football. I was an independent boy from the time I was 13, you know what I mean? You ironed your own clothes, mum worked full time, you cook for your little brother, your brothers will cook for you, you've done the dishes, you run a washing machine, you pegged out the washing, you brought in the coal, you know, you hoovered the house, you spray polished, we were independent kids.
Quite the house husband,
right,
then,
right? Yeah, so then by the time you get into football and someone's saying to you, right, this is what you're going to eat, this is where you're going to sleep, these are the flip-flops I want you to wear. These are the boots I want you to wear. This is the kit I want you to wear. This is where you turn up to get the coach. This is where you turn up the training. This way. So you completely, like, you're just led all the time. And it was like a frustration of mine. Not, you know, I can do for myself. You know, I don't need you to hang up my dressing gown and kit before training in the morning. You know what I mean? I'll go into the washroom and get those things myself. It's okay. It's not a big deal. I don't need my food laid out for me. You know, I go and get it myself. So, they can frustrate in some ways, but you know, you can't criticize, because all the club is trying to do, like a Blackburn, for instance, all they're trying to do is take away every opportunity for excuse, right? So that it's completely on you, and you look back at the results, and you know, that's the way it is. So the meeting, I would have thought, would have been more motivational, I would have thought.
Yeah, clear the air, and then...
Yeah, because I've said it last season, what happens when you come down from the Premier League? You think you're in this mind bubble where you think, I'm just going to go back up. Yeah? And I always tell the story at Sheffield United when I joined them from Cardiff. We went down on with a minute to go, something like that, at Chelsea. And the following season, Wally Downs, I walked past his office and he called me in, and he just had the league fixtures. And he was going, look at that, we'll win that, we'll win. And he was just ticking every game. Because he's just looking at the name, like, I would beat them. Grimsby would beat them. Port Vale would beat them. You know, Sunderland would beat them. We'll beat them. We didn't lose a game. But we didn't even get in the playoffs. So...
Well, it looks like the meeting worked anyways, because last night's, drastically different performance.
Yeah.
Suppose there's only one place to start. Last night was the recall of Lee Tomlin. What did you think when you first saw...
Bit of an SOS.
Yeah.
After the Reading performance. You know, it's, shape it how you want. Bring him back in, he was bought as like a link all your attack formation together. Don't know what's happened, because you know, never seen a player bought like that and then just put out into pastures. There must have been some sort of falling out somewhere along the line, something said or done. But you know, come in last night, thought he'd done okay, thought he'd done well, thought the Cardiff was, with the performance of Cardiff was kind of atypical, back to like very much long throws, sustained pressure from long throws, and you know, long balls into the box and what have you, and it worked. But in fairness to Lee, watching him at Forest last, he's a player that the ball has to go through a lot, you know, and I think Cardiff don't tend to play through midfield, hence what I'm saying. You need to try and not become a possession-based team, but more possession of the ball. I think they had 40% possession last night.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, we're not against Leeds United or anything like that. The reason why we need more possession of the ball is for players like Glatzel and Tomlin to be able to thrive. Otherwise, players like Junior Hoylett can get away with it. The wingers get the ball, blah, 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 blah. They can do a bit, put the cross in. Looks great. You know, in the box, something falls around, get an opportunity. I mean, that can happen to Glatzel as well. But the point I'm trying to make is players like Glatzel and Tomlin, they need to... It's patterns. They thrive off patterns, football patterns. Yeah? It's not the pattern of miss me out and I'll go and battle for the second ball.
Yeah.
They want you to play through me. Why? Because this is what I do.
Well, I thought that was a positive last night. I did think that... Tomlin did bring Glatzel into the game a lot more. Glatzel had a lot more chances, last night. Yeah. So that's got to be a positive move.
Yeah, and that understanding will grow. But what my fear is because it, you know, Glatzel didn't get three and Tomlin didn't provide three and it didn't look worldy last. You know, their next game, one of them's out or Tomlin's out in two games. You're going to have to give it time to develop. You know what I mean? And I would like play them now against Luton. I play them in the cup and try and get an understanding, try and get especially my attack formation. We need more options, as in how we attack. You know, because I would say, if I was playing against Cardiff last night, for instance, I would just be saying, centre forward, I'm going to come back for throw-ins. Take my two galoots at the back. You attack everything, take the full backs, you'd be ready for any second balls, midfielders. If we dig in on the set pieces, throw ins, we limit their opportunities. Because they're not gonna open us up from open play. Yeah. No, so dig in at set pieces, long throws, and you know, we'll frustrate them to the point where, you know, they're gonna get opportunities here and there. But we'll frustrate them and try and nip the game then. You know?
I don't know if you saw what Neil Warnock said about Tomlin after the game last night. He said, obviously, you praised him for his performance and his work rate coming back. But one thing I thought was really interesting is that he said last night would have taken a lot out of him, and they're going to have to be basically using him very sparingly, an hour here or there, which is quite strange, isn't it, for a professional footballer? I mean,
I think what Neil means, Glenn, is reading between the lines. I haven't seen it, but what I would think he would mean is that because he didn't have a full season last season. You know, done well at Forest. It was Forest, wasn't it? Yeah. Done well there. But I don't know how many games he's played pre-season and what have you.
He couldn't go on tour, could he? Because of the visa issues, he played under 23s.
Right, so he's, in my opinion, he's still getting up the match speed, Tomlin. So you blow him out, you play him 90 minutes, you run the risk of an hamstring pull or something like that. And right now, you got to look and think, what's going through the manager's head? Well, major players are dropping like flies.
Can't afford to lose another one.
Don't want to brink him, push him to the brink and hope that he survives. Right, so against Luton, maybe I'll play him for 50 minutes.
So you wouldn't play him against Blackburn, then bring him back in against Luton?
Sorry, Blackburn, maybe play him for 50, 60 minutes.
Right.
Then pull him off. Then Luton, ease him out. Let him
maybe
have a rest.
Come on for a bit? Or?
And then, no, let him have a rest. Yeah. And then Fulham, refresh. Not only physically, but psychologically, that will say a lot to Lee. That tells me I'm in.
Yeah, he's trusted for the league games.
I'm in. Right. Yeah. So now I have to perform. And he can perform. If you give him the ball, he can perform. Like I said, I would play a deep block because I haven't got confidence in the defence in their pace. They know you. Everyone see you got pace or not. They're not quick. So play a deeper block, not allow people to get behind you. You know, we got Rowles and let's say Kuna in midfield. Both can pass a half-decent ball. You've got Tomlin ahead of them. If you play out of those two into Tomlin or straight from back four into Tomlin, you've got speed demons, then Glatz all up and finish. You've got, you know, speed down the width. You've got a bit of an embarrassment. Rich is a speed down the width, to be honest with you. So I would go with that kind of system. I'm not telling Neil how to play his game, you know, but I'm just looking and thinking, how can you tighten that whole system up at the moment? Because last night we were so open, it was like a tennis match.
You pointed out, didn't
we?
Basically, we had a flat four up front with two wingers, Tomlin and Glatzel, and then about 30 yards of space, and then the two holding midfielders. Just on the midfielders, though, I know a lot of people last night praising Joe Rawls again. I mean, I know me and you were talking about he had a good game.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But he's going to have a big season this season, isn't he?
Well, it's... I would say
a lot relies on him in a sort of creative role deeper in midfield.
Yeah, but you know, Joe's not a creative midfielder.
He's the most creative that they've got in that position.
But I've always said I think he can become a creative midfielder.
Yeah.
You know, I said to you last night, there's this thing now, you're either a number six, a box to boxer, or a number 10. Well, you know, in my day, you'd sit if the opposite midfielder had gone. And if he hadn't gone, you're the one who'd done the box to box, so you done everything. I understand the holding six role now, but you know, there's two of them in there with one ahead. You know, between you three, you got to learn these patterns, this little bit of rotation in your game, you know what I mean? Not to be flat, and creativity. You know, what I would say to Joe is, if you can find Tomlin with half of your passes, right? Or Glatzel, or one of the wingers, right? That's going to make your counter-attack and your general attack a lot quicker and a lot more potent.
One player I would like to move on to is Gavin White, because relatively unspectacular and so different to Murphy on the other wing. I was actually really impressed with him last night. I think he offers so much work rate. He offers a lot more in defence as well, which is good. He tracks back a lot. I know you were impressed with him as well last night. He showed a lot of willing.
Yeah, he did. He showed a lot of guts, a lot of determination. Showed some nice touches here and there. But again, Glenn, it takes time for you to develop into a team player, into a team that you're used to the surroundings. The great thing about last night was, regardless of how you played, you created chances and you got a result. Right? You've moved the chains forward.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence is a bit higher. You've had a dressing down probably off the manager the day before, a couple of days before, and you've gone out and you've produced and you've got over the line. You might say it should have been a goal or two to the good at half time, but that's football, it's what happens. You don't take all the chances, it's just life. So you look, someone like Young White, gone in, done well, didn't look out of sorts at all.
No, and
I always say the best part, the if you can get the defensive side, ticking, then the attacking is like the freedom. The attack is like, you do what you want with the attack.
Yeah, can't even need to stop the goals first.
But defensively, done a great job.
Yeah,
then going forward, right now it's what? I need to provide crosses. I need to provide chances. I need to get in at the back stick and score goals. That is, if I'm talking to him, that's your job.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to do anything other. I'm not asking you to save anything on the line. You're not a goalkeeper. But I'm saying, if you're playing on that right side, I need work rate up and down. I need a defensive duty. I need your offensive duties as well. I've got a striker I've just paid money for. He needs to score goals. You're part of the solution.
Yeah.
So psychologically, and what I say to him is important, because I can slice and dice you with words, or I can make you feel top of the world. And I think if those players, if they talk themselves up, if the management talk them up and get them into that frame of mind, because that's what a lot of it is the frame of mind you're going into. So, but yeah, I agree with you. I thought his first game, I thought he'd done well last night.
Just lastly, on the Huddersfield game, I'd like to just touch on Trevor Chalobah, because me and you did talk about it last night. I thought he had a really good game. I just liked how dynamic he was. He was effective both ends of the pitch.
Yeah.
Is he the sort of player that Cardiff City need?
I would say if he was available and Cardiff could pick a player like that, someone I suppose you got Pack in that mould.
Yeah.
But Pack's gone down injured, so there's not a lot you can do.
Let's say Chalobah might be a bit more attacking, maybe.
Probably is. Yeah. Good player. I know he's like used to speak to Eddie Newton about him a lot. Him and his brother, both very good players. I think he played really well last night. So he's the type of player. Listen, if he's available and we could have him, I wouldn't say no to him, put it that way.
Yeah. Right, well, then moving on. Blackburn this weekend. Club you know very well.
Yes, I'm doing the game.
Yeah.
Commentary, yeah.
They've had a very similar start to Cardiff. I think they're 11th and 12th on the table, Cardiff and
yeah.
Blackburn.
Yeah. They lost the first, I think.
Yeah,
and
so
second.
Two wins, two losses,
one
I think,
in
for
the
both.
Cup. And then one 2-league game, something like that. Yeah,
I think historically Cardiff have got a very good record against Blackburn. I think I jotted down
2005. I think
yeah,
last time they lost.
I haven't lost in the league since 1985. I think Scott Salter put on Twitter. So
yeah.
Do you think that's going to extend this weekend?
I watched Blackburn the other night. They're decent.
Mm.
They're not going to blow you away. I'd say our front line is more dangerous than theirs. But they're a good outfit.
Yeah, they've scored fewer, but they've conceded far fewer as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And they played some football. Tony Mowbray's team's always played good football, to be fair to him. I like Mowbray. I've always admired his teams, the way they play. So, and then there's the away factor. I wasn't confident we'd go to Reading and win. I didn't want to predict the loss, but I had that sneaky feeling that, and I've said, the way we're playing at the moment, if we can pick up points and wins whilst not playing at our best and just kind of play our way into some sort of form,
mm-hmm.
and things go well. But my worry is the away form, the away games.
Yeah, 6 goals in 2 games conceded away from home.
That's my worry. You know, last night, you know, that performance away from home might have got you over the line. Don't think it's enough, you know, because what you got to think is away from home, if you haven't 40% of the ball, that'll probably drop to about 35%.
Mm.
And the opposition have the fans behind you pushing, you're at home, you're at your home stadium. So these are little factors that, you know.
So we can't overlook the fact that, like, I think Cardiff had 24 shots or something yesterday, and they missed some absolute sitters, didn't they?
They did.
I remember Bakuna blazed one over, Glatzel, Bennett on the stroke at half-time lifted one over.
That was
the
one it should have scored, Bennett at half-time.
And obviously he came back to fight them straight after half-time. Mm. So they are creating chances, and it was a far improved performance, but you're right, on the road.
It depends, it's how you define create.
24 shots is...
Do you know what I mean? If I throw the ball into your box 25 times and a half, you're going to get, on a ratio, I would have said, at least 8 opportunities out of that. 7 opportunities. You know, low of averages.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we are creating 1 or 2 chances, but creating, to me, is right... pass, you know, good 1-2 between 2 players, nice run from Murphy, pass between, you know, right back and centre back by Riles, Murphy runs on to it, whoops it in, Glatzel comes in, finishes. That's creating chances. A lot of our chances just come from bombarding you. Yeah,
it's aerial, like, bombardment.
How can you sustain? You know, can you fight this sustained pressure that we're just going to put on you? I mean, so the chances come from there. If you want to define throwing the ball in as creating a chance, fine, yeah, it's no skin off my nose, absolutely. But, you know, the problem for me is when the opposition, better opposition, have sustained pressure on you, it won't be, that pressure won't be in their own half, like trying to, they'll be pressing you back in your own half. So when you get a throw in, you're throwing it from just outside your own 18-yard box rather than in line with their 18-yard box.
Mm.
So you're throwing at the line trying to relieve pressure.
Morris has got a long throw, I don't think it's that long.
But it's not right. So, you know, but we did have, listen, we had the Lions, over the Lions share.
Yeah.
You know, we should have been arguably 5-1.
Yeah.
Say comfortably 4-5-1.
Should be 4-0 at half time.
Yeah, but you know, it wasn't to be. But listen, it's still in good shape. It's like it's a win's a win. That's what I say. It's early in the season, and the team is yet to fully gel into, you know, that one. You know, I'll call it an arrowhead gel into that. You know. Into that pinnacle of everyone on the same web page, same wavelength. You know, you one or two results that you're not expected to get, you go and win. You know, beating Fulham would be a great start. You know, that would bolster confidence as well. So, yeah.
Given the away form, would you take a draw at Blackburn?
Yeah, I'd take a draw at Blackburn.
Mm-hmm.
I would. I take a point at Blackburn. I just think at this moment in time, it's, what, you're 4 games in? You just, you're only 4 points off the top. It's just about, you know, trying to build momentum. You know, as long as you're in and amongst touching distance at the top, don't worry if you're 6th or 8th or 10th. You know what I mean? You don't get the points, you're 4 points behind. You know what I mean? By the end of September, early October, you don't want those 4 points to be between you and the top team, 7 or 8 points. You know, that's when it becomes difficult. You know, people go, oh, you know, we're 7th. But if you're 7 point, if you're 7th and 7 points off 6, you know what I mean? That's ultimately 3 games you got to win, hoping that they don't get above them. So it's, but it's early days. And, you know, last night, what we do good, we done well last night, I feel. And that's where the opportunities came from. So it's trying to get, you know, into a good run of form. You know, I was reading some stuff last time. I was thinking to myself, you know, what happened last championship? I was reading, you know, I think it was after 5 games, I was saying we were going to go up. You know, I done an article saying there's something special going on, I've seen it, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, anyone who wants to be critical, fine. But I look and I know what I see.
Mm.
At some point, you try to tell me the sky is black if it's blue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to say because you feel I'm pressuring you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you can't take that pressure, if you can't take my verdict on what I see, come on, man. You know, pundits everywhere, caning teams. You know what I mean? I don't cane my team. I just look at it. I might critically analyze it sometimes, but I'm analyzing it open for the better so it improves. They don't have to listen. That's up to them. A player might listen here or there and think, yeah, I didn't realize that. Oh, I've seen that. Oh, yeah, that's right. So, Tesco, innit? Every little helps me.
Well, let's hope some more critical analysis with some Ask Blakey. We got floods of questions in from the last two games.
You beautiful bluebirds. I do love you.
So, first question we have is from Dave Williams.
All right, Dave.
Dave says, do Smithy's recent performances warrant his place in the team, or should Joe Day be given a chance? Also, should Lee Tomlin now be given a run of games considering his performance last night and the departure of Reed? I think we've probably covered the second half of that.
No and yes. I would go with Smithies. I think he's more experienced at this level.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's done well to sit back and take a season on the bench, to be fair. But as players will tell you, if someone's got the shirt ahead of you, it's for them to lose it and you to gain it. He's got his opportunity through injury now. Play well, you keep the shirt. Simple as that. It's, you know, when Everidge comes back, he doesn't go straight. Well, if Smithies is playing well, I doubt Neil Warnock could just put him straight back in the team. You know, he'll have to wait.
Do you think Smithies has been playing well?
Yeah, I think he has. Yeah, I think he. I don't look and think, oh, what was he doing for that goal or this goal? You know, so I think he's done well. Yeah.
Andrew Thomas asks, we have gone from having a reasonably strong defence to one that has massive holes in it. Why? How can we improve it with the players we have?
This is what I was trying to say to Paul Abandonato. Aiden Flint and Morrison are very similar. What they have to rely on is the ball coming into the striker's feet or in the air so they can head it. I would have loved to play against either of them, because I outstrength both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And in second gear, I would run both of them. So they've got to worry about someone like a Bogle, someone who can physically match them and then run. If you look at the game the other night, it was against Reading, it was the movement of Puskas.
Yeah.
Puskas that killed them.
Mm.
Oh, they couldn't handle the movement. And he's not rapid. You know, you would say probably Bogle's quicker than him, but his movement is clever, intelligent, and that's half the battle. So they're struggling because if you're intelligent, you don't play into their strengths, right? They want you to back in so they can fight you, jump over the top of you, blah, blah, blah. If you're clever, you give him that once or twice, but then you'll stand to the side of him and look at him side on so he doesn't know where you're going to run in front of him, behind him, off him, pull back off him. Jump across him. You know, players are, you know, people do their homework, management teams, coaching staff, players, you know, so the best way to play those two is get them over the shoulder, get them turning, because neither of them in a foot race, you're not confident that they're going to win it.
Mm.
So I think that's probably where teams are exploiting that situation. Hence why I say, if you play a deeper block, you deny that space in behind, Smithies becomes your sweeper, and they don't have to worry about getting turned. But if they try and play high, or if they're playing at the moment, which is sort of, you know, generic, it's not really patterned, then you'll see a lot more of that. You'll see a lot more of that, teams taking advantage of that.
Mm. Okay, we have one Reza Davis.
Reza.
They ask Blakey how he thinks we can get the most out of Murphy, because there's definitely quality in there, but seems to be sporadic.
Yeah, that's a brilliant question.
Good question, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cause, I should have asked it myself.
Yeah, because I know what you mean. Murphy almost has the ability, you think, to just take it, just win the game on his own.
Played well last night, I thought.
Yeah, yeah, win a game on his own. But even last night, and against teams like that, Huddersfield, no disrespect, but you'd be looking for him to get three clear-cut opportunities, or maybe two assists, three assists.
Mm.
I mean, he was good last night, but I still think he can be better.
Yeah.
You know, a lot better.
And he just needs a goal maybe to get...
No, again, if you... listen, I'm not... Bluebirds, I'm not harping on about it. It's just a simple fact. If I have the ball and you don't, it's not a lot you can do.
Mm.
So the more we have the ball, the more... If I have the ball 10 times and a half, I might pass it back twice, I might run in six times, I might pass inside twice. If I have the ball 4 times and a half, I might run in once, pass it inside once, pass it back once, and cross it once.
Mm.
I've minimised
your chances.
I've minimised it.
Yeah.
Just simply by the fact that I don't keep the ball. Now, we don't keep the ball. That's not the way we play. But I do think we can sit back and counter teams better. I think Murphy would be deadly in that situation.
Mm.
I really do.
Got two questions from Mike Brown.
Michael.
Mike says... Well, first one, do you see Hoylett as an impact sub? I personally think he looks better coming on with 20 minutes to go. And the second one, do you see Bamba as filling in as a holding midfielder when he's back in January before we get someone in? Bakuna and Volks clearly not up to the job. That only leaves Rawls and Pack, who is injured. So first one, Hoylett impact sub, Bamba holding midfielder.
Hoylett, too good a player just to be an impact substitution.
Think you should restart him?
I think he will get his time to start. You know, I know Neil loves him as a player. I think he's so talented, it's ridiculous. And I think he scored 12 goals last campaign in the Championship. Was more in and out last season. But in this league, in this division, no, I wouldn't say he's an impact player. I'd say he's a lot more... He's someone who play from the start and can win you games. He's proved that, especially at this level. So he can impact the game coming off the bench, of course, because he's such a good player.
Mm.
But personally, I would try and get him in the team and play him.
And Bamber's a holding midfielder?
He can play it. And at Championship level, probably standing on his head. Maybe sat in between those two would help. But again, he's higher than the back line, so it doesn't stop the ball in behind. It doesn't stop you from beating them for pace. You know, Sol's not going to make up 20 yards, 15 yards on people, even if they're slow.
Do you think that's a more solid option next to Rawls, though, instead of Bakuna and Volks?
I would say for sure more solid, yeah.
Mm.
No disrespect, but at this level, I think if you're buying players, they have to be able to handle the level you're playing them at. And, I think Bakuna, Volks, Rouse, I think you have to give that time to develop, if I'm totally honest. I wouldn't say, all of them clearly can play at this level. They've played at this level and higher. So... you have to give it time, and if you get the 10 games in and there's still a lack of creativity, you got a problem.
Good question here, I think, from Stanley Williams.
All right, Stanley.
Do you think we should play twin strikers, Bogle and Glatzel, like we used to many years ago with Toshak and Brian Clark? Also play Tomlin behind Bogle and Glatzel.
He used to play Tomlin, it's not that. Who was that from?
Stanley Williams.
Stanley, it's not that far back. He used to play Stant and Carl Dale as well. Or Pike and Carl Dale. He played 4-4-2 in my day as well.
Do you think that's an option?
Listen, they're all options, yeah.
Is it one?
You know, 4-3-3, 4-2-1-3, whatever, whatever. All these different systems, you know. But you have to work on them. You know, it's no good just saying, I'm going to play two strikers. You know, those two strikers have to play, have some sort of, you know, telepathy going on with they play with each other and then with the midfield and whatever. So, it's not a question of, Albert, it's not a question of, this is it's the thing. You know, sometimes as fans, we just want it to happen because we think it should happen. They're good players, it can happen. You have to work on it. So the things that, you know, it wouldn't be fair on either player chucking them in and saying, right, go on.
You know, do you think Bowl and Glatzel could complement each other quite well, though?
I think any two players can.
Yeah.
You know, I do. I think any two players. Unless you've got, like, someone who's 6'5", can't run and just good in the air. If you've got two of them, then, you know, you've got a problem because someone's going to have to get in the box. But, yeah, they're both athletic. They can both run. They can both score goals. You know, why not? But then I'd say, well, last night, dilemma. If you play a higher line at the back, the midfielder can push in a bit more, which allows Tomlin to get closer to Glatzel and really influence the game. But then you got a problem with being exposed at the back with balls over the top. Yeah. So do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to go one way or the other.
Catch
for me.
Isn't it?
At the moment, we're kind of in between two stalls.
Yeah.
We're not playing deep and we're not playing press. We're kind of like quite long, quite stretched. So if we can do one or the other, either forwards drop back and our back line drop or back line up and allow Tomlin to become more influential around. Because, I mean, I look at Tomlin and watch him last season. And him in amongst Murphy, Glatzel, let's say Hoylett. Oh, he Mendes Lang, you know, he can really, really get those. If he just sees himself, he's a string puller. That's what he wants to do. He wants to score, but that's not his ultimate.
Mm.
He seems to me as the type of player who would rather provide a quality pass than score a goal. Maybe, I don't know, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He loves providing as much as he likes scoring. Then, and I think if you really push that confidence into let him take that tag and play through him, especially in the final third. So I'm not talking about keep it rolling it out and, you know, blah blah blah. That could happen. I think we've got players who can do it, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? It's not the way we play. So kick it long, okay, but then allow Tomlin, you know, you have to notify players. In this position, play into him. In this position, play into him. When you've got the ball, Joe, and you turn, you know, if you can get past it first, play into him. You know what I mean? That's going to suck them out, and that allows you, Glatzel, to run in there, and, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just something I would like to see.
Right, last one from Facebook, and we'll have a couple from Twitter to finish. We got Johnny Davis, who says, what does he think can be done in training to improve the scoring rate? As there was about 24 shots against Huddersfield, we're only 6 on target. Same with other games. We are creating chances, but rarely capitalise on them. Is it just a lack of confidence, or is there work to be done? Do you remember any sort of advice or drills that you
Bit of a lack of confidence, but I would have thought, it's impossible not for them not to be doing finishing training. It's part and parcel of your everyday training, so they will be doing that. Maybe a bit of extra finishing in training.
Staying behind late, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, you can have small-sided games which are attributed to finishing. So rather than you have like your full goal on the touchline, the other one say on the halfway line on the crown of the centre circle, you can push it another 5-10 yards, and what you do, you create a situation where it's about 30 yards between two goals, so you can shoot from anywhere basically. And it's like you play a 6v6 or 8v8, and it is high tempo finishing, you know, twisting, turning, 1-2s. It helps you develop those patterns in those tight areas and quick thought process. So, you know, there's ways and means of doing it, yeah. But it's not, we it might happen where you get 24 chances and you blitz someone 6-0. The confidence shoots for the roof. Next game, they win 3, they win 4. So it's not just something doing training. It is something if they put 4 or 5 away last night, everyone's confidence is so up high that you tend to take more chances.
We have one from Dion Thomas as well. Are you fit enough to play?
No.
No. Hey, you got your golf gear on. You fit enough to play golf? Right, we
I
have...
I said a buggy, mate. Can't drive a buggy on a football pitch. If they allow it, I'm there. I think I can get my head out to any crosses. I think I can get out the end of them.
One on Twitter from Gareth Pierce. What effect has the preseason schedule had on the first 4 games, as it looks like there has been a lack of competitiveness with a very non-Warnock preseason? The first 4 games have looked like 4 competitive preseason games. Lots of changes to start in the 11, etc.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Gareth, that's from
Gareth, yeah.
Yeah, I understand what you mean, Gareth, because I'm looking at the team thinking they look fit, but they don't look sharp. Right? It don't look like how you usually do at the start of the season. You run, you're out of the blocks quicker than the ground, and then you tend to fade around 70 minutes. And then over 4 or 5 games, that 70 goes to 90, your fitness level. But I know what you mean, but like I said, it's football's become all year round. You know what I mean? Maybe they might look at pre-season and think we do things differently next year or something like that. Maybe they don't. Maybe they're exactly where they expect to be. I don't know. It's difficult not being a fly on the wall or inside the dressing room. You know, this might be part of the plan. You know, you don't win the trophy, you don't win the league in August. But what you can do is definitely lose it. That's the worry. Is that, you know. I always say when teams get 9 or 10 points on you, whether it's promotion or playoffs you're going for, when they get 9 or 10 points on you, right, you're 6, they're 6, you're 7th, and there's 9 points between you. Don't look at where you are in the table. Look below, really, because you've got to win 3 games and the team above you've got to lose before you even start talking about, you know, getting into that 6th spot. So, you know, just be mindful of that. That's what I would say.
With that in mind, our final question from Yayan.
All right, Yayan.
With Pack out, do we have enough in central midfield to challenge the top 6? And why didn't Warnock buy a right back?
Everyone can see it, isn't it? It's funny. It's funny how I've had a few commentators or whatever you say to me, I've been negative or whatever. And it's not negative. I see what I see and I say it.
Call her as you see.
Right? But clearly from the questions, everyone can see it, or most can see it, right? And I wish there was, you know, rather than worrying about critical analysis, everyone just focus on going forward. I mean, nothing I'm going to say or any of the fans going to say should impact what happens in that dressing room space. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Don't know if there's enough in central midfield to challenge.
I don't know, yeah. I don't know. You've got to give it some games to develop. You'd be surprised sometimes. You might look and think, no way. Then Joe scored a good goal like he did last night. Bakuna rattles went in from 30 yards. All of a sudden, those two players, woof, up they go, and they become majorly influential. Do you know what I mean? Confidence like we always say, you can't bag it up. If you could, you'd be a billion, trillionaire. Can't bag it up and give it to people. It's things you do in training, things you do in games, how you win games. You know, your approach to training, approach to games, you know. Do you feel you've done the work going into this game? Are you coming up against a player who's like, oh, I'm a left back, he's a right winger. Oh, he's just roasted me twice. We've done nothing on, you know, how we're going to pull the man in front. And you know, these things, they all play in your mind and emotion. If you feel like I'm fully loaded going into a battle situation, then you tend to come out with a good result. If you're not, then the opposite happens, obviously. So let's give it 10 games, people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Let's watch. Let it develop. It's not like last time in the championship where I was calling, you know, promotion. I even said top two. I didn't realise that. But that's how good we were. That's how much of a surprise package we were. You know, I remember the result. We went to Wolves and won. No one had us down to win. I did. I knew we would. We were that good at what we were doing. Mm. We were brilliant at it. You know what I mean? And it was a surprise. But this season, I don't think we've started as sharply. We're not as sharp. We're not as front-footed. But like I said, it might be part of the plan. You know, develop it. New players. Get into the season. Have a strong October, November, December, January, and put yourself in a great position then for the final run in March, April, at the end of the season. That's what I'm hoping.
I think that's what our Cardiff fans are hoping. Well, I think that's all we've got time for, so thanks again, Blakey. And
pleasure, mate.
Next time we see you, it'll be another two games under our belt, so
we'll have to go on again. Yeah, but that's the championship, isn't it?
Yeah, and the Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
Remember to follow all the Cardiff City news on Wales Online.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.